of the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast, a Titans podcast that covers absolutely everything you need to know about the Titans every single week, including huge victories against the Broncos. And we have a few players out, not too many players, only a couple, but Blaze, how was it at the stadium, mate? What a week.
Mate, it was absolutely phenomenal to be at Suncorp Stadium there on Sunday. You know, obviously we went there. You know, we did say on the podcast last week that we're giving ourselves a chance, despite the fact that we had, you know, no Jimmy Jolliffe, no Tino Fasomalawi, no Tanner Boyd, Kieran Foran, AJ Brimson, Jaden Campbell. You know, we had no Harley Smith Shields. We just lost Aaron Shook to Manly. You know, no Philip Sami. The list goes on. And we gave ourselves a bit of an opportunity, but we also had the realistic thought process that we're probably going to get done and dusted there. But guess what? We went there. We really showed, you know, what Desi's capable of and what this team's capable of. I know we'll talk all about today, but yeah, it was very good being able to do the dance and send the OD Gold Coast in Suncorp Stadium. And I got to see somebody absolutely annihilate and kick the living life out of one of their chairs at Suncorp Stadium. And it was a beautiful sight to behold.
That does sound like a very beautiful sight. For those that are watching us on YouTube, you will see my virtual background today. It's a man flexing his muscles with a premiership trophy. That, of course, is the premiership trophy. And Blaze, you have gone for a very
I've gone for a cat. As well. Yeah, I thought I'd put an animal up on the screen today, and I'm going with a cat to put on the screen. So if you guys are obviously watching on YouTube, you can see that that is Reece Walsh. If you guys are listening at home on Spotify and Apple, then it is Reece Walsh, the cat.
And if my friend Nash is watching, who is the manager of Reece Walsh, I've got nothing to do with that background, Nash. Please don't hate me.
He told me to do it. Clarkie said, you know what? You have to put Reece Cat Walsh. And he put Cat there, so that's just his words, not mine.
No comment. If you do want to join the front line for our home or away games, you can do so by sending us a message on our Instagram. It's at Titans Frontline, or join our Facebook group, which is the Frontline as well. Search Gold Coast Titans Frontline. It'll come up no matter where you search there on Facebook or Instagram. Jump in those groups, follow the page, do all that good stuff, guys. And we also do ticket giveaways there for particular games, so you can win a chance to sit in the front line as
well. And we will be giving away tickets for the Rabbitohs game next week. So not this week, obviously, but the bottom next week, we will be giving away some tickets for the Rabbitohs game, which is a big game, actually, a big round. We'll talk about more next week that involves Kieran Foran and the family, but it's a big round for the Titans. So, yeah, looking forward to that game in a week and a half's time.
Absolutely, mate. I'm just flicking us over now to our Titans news segment where we cover all Titans news from around the week. No judiciary news. We do have some injury news, though, and that's Tony Francis injuring his AC joint, and he will miss the next 4 to 6 weeks in rehab. Mate, what an effort on debut to stay out there first and foremost. Great shirt. Who made that shirt?
The big Jenko, the husband / wife. I'll probably go with more wife of Tony Francis. Now, if you guys are in the front line or you're around the Gold Coast Titans games at the end of games or not, you know Sammy Jenkins. He is in love with Tony Francis, and I'm pretty certain that it is reciprocated there. But no, he went out and made a Tony Francis shirt, which is great. Got it signed as well by the big fella himself. And yeah, look, obviously it's really sad to see that he won't be here for the next 4 to 6 weeks, but, you know, he could have had two tries. Obviously, he only got the one try there, but that was with his shoulder, his AC joint injury that he had to play on for throughout this game for the most part, and then had to come back on later on in the game because of our injury toll right now and everything going on. So really impressive performance there by Tony. Really proud of him. Obviously, he was patient by this time, got into the team, scored the try, the first try of the game for the Gold Coast Titans, and had to be a warrior throughout the game because, again, he was injured within like the first, I think, 2 minutes on his first. And I said this to Sam, because I was sitting next to Jenko. I said, listen, I reckon he's actually injured himself on that try because you see the way he's been tackled, he probably come down incorrectly, and that's where I think he's got that injury there. So, monster effort there from the big Tony, baby, the big Tony.
So you're saying his first NRL try, the first touch where he almost scored, because I thought it was more earlier in the game, if I'm honest.
So when he scored his try, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when he nearly scored that first try, like 2 minutes in. Yeah.
I agree. That's where I thought it happened. Mate, I was up on my feet because I was screaming, Tony's going to score with his first ever touch in the NRL. And then I was like, oh, no, he's hurt. So I agree with you. I think that's where it happened, man. And
it's like Jacob Alekwinki. When he first came in last year against the Dolphins, his first touch of the ball was nearly an assist. Well, it was an assist, and then they had to bunker review it and take it off him, I think for a knock-on maybe. And that could have been, I think it was Phil or Loffy, I can't remember. But yeah, every time we have a debutant recently, it seems like in the back saying, oh, actually, no, you can't really say that. But at least Jacob Alekwinki and Tony Francis, you know, they've come with a bang when they first started out.
Yeah, it's super special, man. And the NRL physio comments that an AC joint is largely a pain barrier, and that's why a lot of players cannot play through it. So Tony must be one tough bugger, man, to keep playing on, to come back on at the end of the game. We had no one. Because he was injured, it probably wasn't a dream debut from an individual perspective, but because the rest of our team stepped up and made sure we won for him, that is a debut he will never forget, and the toughness he had to show, man, incredible. And I'm so keen to see this play.
I'll say this with Tony as well. Like, yeah, obviously we won the game, but he was, you know, he was speechless. We had him on the vlog. So if you guys don't know, we put the vlog up from every game on BKR Sport, and we had Tony on the vlog there. Yeah, he was really proud. His whole family were sitting up just behind us. So we were in row one there in 317, which is at Suncorp in that corner. So, and then his whole family, there was like 30 people behind us with all their shirts on and whatnot as well. It was really great to see them getting around him. And yeah, look, obviously from an individual standing point, he mightn't have been proud of not being able to play the full 80, but he can definitely be proud of the stint that he showed when he was on, and he can definitely be proud of the fact that he came back on despite injury and still did what he needed to do in that last few minutes, because without him, I'm telling you, we would have been done for.
We don't win without him. Without his try there whilst he was injured, we're behind on the scoreboard. So it's as simple as that. Really, really integral part to our team, despite missing some of the games due to injury. You didn't give me my credit on my shout-out before. I actually did design that jersey, the shirt you're wearing for Sam.
So, oh, so I didn't. Well, I didn't. He took the credit for it. He took the credit, not you. He didn't give you the credit.
No, stuff you. Congratulations to Moeki Fotuaika. He has been selected for the Queensland Maroons. He is our only NRL Origin player this year. Of course, we can sit here as much as we could and praise Mo for what has been a great bounce back. He didn't start the season as strong as he would have liked. Now he's in terrific form. He's our captain at the moment, and he has rightfully earned that selection, Blaze. But I think most Titans fans are more so wanting to discuss someone who wasn't selected, and that's Dave Fifita. What are your thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, it's quite weird, like the roller coaster that is rugby league. A couple of weeks ago, we were, you know, not a big fan of Dave Fifita. So we love Dave, and then we weren't a big fan of Dave, and then we love Dave again. And then it's like the roller coaster rugby league. And now we've come to his defense, absolutely, because that's what we do as fans anyway. But I absolutely vehemently disagree with this decision here by Billy. You know, you've selected guys like Jeremiah Nene, they've selected Jaden Sua, Samuel Cobo on the bench, which is astounding, and just other guys that, if you want to specifically just talk back rows in general, Brandon Piakura may be great eventually, but there is absolutely 0% world chance, reality, anywhere that he should be selected over Dave. And I think this is a very political decision where Billy came out really, really strongly against David Fifita throughout the week or the weeks ago when we were doing this backflip stuff. Billy Slater himself, the coach of Queensland, came out very strongly against David Fifita and his decision-making in regards to backflip. So I feel like it's a little bit of punishment there. For Gold Coast Titans fans, this is great news, because now we get to have Dave play against the Rabbitohs next week, and we don't have to worry about an injury potentially. But as you know, fans of David and people who want to respect the game and the players who are trying to get the biggest accolades, which is exactly what Origin is, and work hard for it, then you've got to be disappointed for Dave as a bloke for sure. But yeah, look, I think that it is disgraceful selection. As a Queenslander myself, I'll back Billy and I'll back the team in on the day, absolutely. But I will also back Dave in, who is our player.
I think my issue is, if you look at it from an X factor perspective, you go with Dave. If you look at it from a work rate perspective, you put probably this year Jeremiah Nene ahead of him. He has been making a lot of tackles there for Cowboys, which was something he didn't do last year. Maybe Felice Kafusi. But if you break it down statistically, Dave Fifita is the best back row of all that are available to Queensland. You mentioned Brendan Piakura, and I think that's a perfect place to start. I broke this down stats-wise. Brendan Piakura is averaging 10 less tackles than Dave per game, and he is missing roughly one in every five attempts he makes. Dave, as I said, is making 10 more tackles than him per game, and he is missing one out of every 20 he attempts. So, what, 400% better?
Piakura was taken out of the game against us on the weekend because he couldn't handle Dave. He couldn't handle Dave. So he was
he couldn't handle out. Dave and a real misfit side, you could say. Like, there wasn't much cohesion in this side, right? We had Brian Kelly on the other side playing wing. We had back rowers in the centres. Dave played prop, centre, and back row.
Bowie in the centre at one stage, exactly. On the wing at one stage. You know, but I will say, in regards to Piakura, this isn't us trying to have a go at Brendan. This isn't us saying that he's a bad player. This isn't us saying that, you know, he doesn't deserve to eventually make it or anything like that, or going at him as a bloke. All we're saying is we're comparing you to David Fifita, and we're saying that you are nowhere near that level yet. And all the stats that we show for Dave as well is with like five or six less games because he was injured at the beginning part of the year. So this, like, little stanza here, Dave, he's actually been better. Billy came out and said that he hasn't reached the standards of last year, but he's been better this year so far than last year. It makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely zero sense. So, you know, I understand that maybe I actually don't understand it, because Dave is a better back rower than all of those guys. But if you want to go for toughness, I do like Jaden Sewell. I think he's done a good job there for the Dragons. But I think that he should have been the partner. You know, if you want to put Nene off the bench, then great. He hasn't really done a great deal for Queensland. And I think that this is what I'll say as well on Dave, is that when you watch Origin, maybe you would, because he's thought of as a different level, right? So if he's not scoring 30 tries a year or 50 tries a year, then he's not good enough. He's overpaid. He's overrated. I don't know if, I think people watch Origin, they go, oh, he's not scoring 2-3 tries in that game, so he's not really doing what he needs to do. And it's like, you shouldn't actually be expecting back rowers to score. You shouldn't be expecting it. This is a great new addition in rugby league nowadays, the pace of it. But people just expect him to score. Dave is very balanced, very, very balanced player nowadays compared to that 2021 season, was it? Or 2022 when he scored all those tries? I can't remember. But the point of the matter is that people love to throw shade at him who don't watch the Titans games and don't know anything about the guy at all. So they're going off that and looking at scores, whilst Billy, I believe, is making a political decision. But I'll support Queensland regardless.
Yeah, I think it's a decision around Billy Slater not wanting the media to talk about the backflip or provide any distractions in Origin camp for him, which is fair enough. I wouldn't be shocked if Dave's recalled for game two if the Maroons lose, just because we always see game one is typically a low-scoring game and you do need X factor. And Dave probably has more X factor than every single Maroons player that's selected. You know, maybe a Valentine Holmes or a Reece Walsh, you could argue more, but certainly if we're talking forwards only.
Game ones are very defensive and low scoring. Game twos are the blowout of the losing team. The losing team from game one will blow out and win game two usually to create a decider. And then game three is kind of like a 19-18 or an 18-14 kind of game as well, similar to game one. So it's usually that game two where whoever lost that first one will explode. And games one and game three will be really tight affairs, which is why, I would say that Dave is more necessary for game one and three.
Yeah, certainly. But I do understand if Billy just wants to keep that distraction outside of camp. Fair play. I'm just looking at it as a staunch Queensland fan. Who would I feel most comfortable in that jersey? And it is still Dave. And when people say that he's maybe not as strong statistically this year in defense as he was last year, averaging a few less missed tackles, please remember, he has not played the full season, and when he returned, 4 of his 9 games to date have been via the interchange. So less minutes means in less average tackles. If you go by minute and compare Dave's stats to last year, he is better in every single area. So I just want to put that out there. Let's move on to the next one, mate. We could talk Dave missing Origin all day, realistically. It's a big story, but I wouldn't say this is a big story. I think the media kind of beat it up a little bit more than it's worth. Ben Hunt does say that his preference is to remain the Dragons, but he did say he's not going to close the door on anything in the future. Reports suggest that his manager is currently kind of stalled with the Dragons, and I'm not sure if that's money-wise or Ben wanting extra years. Now, he will be 35 years old when the 2025 NRL season kicks off. We've currently got halves depth of Foran, Tanner Boyd, and Tommy Weaver. Would you like it if we were to sign Ben Hunt on a 2-year deal from next season onwards?
I think if this was, we were speaking about this last year, which we were the exact same time. So just to really put it back into the mindset for everybody, this seems to come out every time Ben Hunt is in Queensland in Origin camp, because last time the whole schmozzle that happened, the blow up, us getting involved, Broncos, everybody, was actually when he was in Origin camp last year. Right. So I don't get fooled by this, and I don't get fooled by them making this kind of statement and the media going away with it right now, because Ben can't say anything. No one can say anything when you're in Origin camp. You're stuck there until obviously Origin finishes. And that's what we saw last year, but Ben couldn't say anything until like 2-3 days after, and then played for the Dragons a couple of days after to a lot of boos actually from his own fans. I think that if this was last year and we were getting him, as in this year, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I like that. But I think that at 35 years old to start your career at a different club, like to start your club career, 35 years old is probably not the go for mine. We already have Kieran Foran that is basically, in a way, the same thing that people are arguing for. They're like, we want someone to come through experience to show the ropes to these younger guys, like Tommy Weaver, even Tanner, but Tanner's past that younger stage now, in my opinion. He's played well and truly enough games. So I guess Zane Harrison is another one that I think we'll mention it a little bit later on. But, you know, Zane Harrison coming through from the Tweed Seagulls, and then you've got Tommy Weaver and whatnot. But the point of the matter is that we've already got Kieran Foran for this. So why would we need to go and sign Ben Hunt? Removing Kieran and bringing Ben Hunt for some reason just is the same kind of thing, in my personal opinion. And Kieran's doing a great job when he's on the field. I know he's injured, but in the same sense, I think he's younger. Is he not younger than Ben Hunt?
He is younger than Ben Hunt for 1 year. 1 or 2 years,
Yeah, so the point of that is that, no, I personally don't see it. I think that Ben's a great player with a great, well, to be fair as well, man, and I will say this and then you can have your say. In that Pacific Cup last year, Australia versus New Zealand, he was found out pretty heavily. He was heavily found out in that game and really targeted, which is what won New Zealand that final over there in New Zealand. But also, I don't think Ben's done a crazy amount up at the Dragons this year. Last year he did. Years beforehand he did. This year, not so much. So I don't know. I feel like this could just be, and no disrespect to Ben, I feel like it could be a bit more of a retirement plan. So that I would personally say no, because I think we already have the experience covered with Kieran Foran.
I'm going to go a little bit different to you. I'm going to say yes, because I think if we have a halves combo of Foran and Ben Hunt, especially with Tino returning next year and Jimmy Jola from that pec injury, etc., I think we enter a premiership window. I know that's a bit of a bold call because Ben Hunt hasn't really done too much at the Dragons, but under Des Hasler with our current game plan, we stay in games for the full 80 minutes. And I feel like if we had someone of the quality of Ben Hunt there with Foran in a tight game when we get to the last 10 minutes and scores are, you know, within a try each way, I think we'd probably win that 8 out of 10 times with a halves combo like that. They'd make the right decisions because they have so much experience. My only caveat is the club would need to work out, is Tanner Boyd our future? Is it Zane Harrison or is it Tommy Weaver? And if you were to sign Ben Hunt on a 2-year deal, then you need to sign them on a 4-year deal and make sure they can't speak to rival clubs and leave.
Don't forget Brimo or JC, because Brimo and Jaden Campbell, you've got to fit one of those guys with the fullback, and then you've got Brimson, who you would more than likely be looking at the six with Benny Hunt or Kieran Falk. Right now, you'd be thinking maybe Brimo six, four and seven next year, or Tanner Boyd. There's a lot of confusion. This is why I don't think it's actually as necessary as we would have thought last year.
And when you say that as well, our salary cap is a little bit unbalanced at the moment, where if we were to sign Ben Hunt, we undoubtedly lose someone. It could be Jaden Campbell. It wouldn't be Brimson. He's too much of a Titan in my
Re-signed for 6 years. Brimo's hit 23.
Exactly right. So it wouldn't be Brimo, but it could be Jaden. It could be Kinney. It could be a forward like an Ezra, an Aaron Clark, a Jimmy Joel. It would be someone we don't want to lose. So there is that risk to it. But I do believe it would open up a premiership window for us. I know that's very, very bold talk from a Titans fan. But, man, I'll put my money where my mouth is. I think with Ben Hunt, we'd be real good for that premiership hunt under Des Hasler.
I'm not going to say, like, completely no. Like, I know Ben Hunt's a great player. I'm just kind of providing that, I guess, that negative Nancy thought process to the potential of why no. And it's good that you said yes, if we can get both those different valuable opinions there. I think it causes actually more of a mess than we're already kind of in. I'm not saying it's a bad mess, but it could be a good mess, but also it's a mess still nonetheless. So we've only just come out of that fullback battle, and we have not come out of that fullback battle because we've got Keanu, Jaden Campbell, and AJ Brimson, who are all good enough to play that fullback. And now if you sign Ben Hunt, then that would completely lock off the Brimson to six role because you'd have 4 and 6, unless you said to Kieran, when are you in the coaching staff right now? We're going to put Brimson to the six. And then who is it between Jaden Campbell and Keanu Kenny? Or do you put Keanu 14? Or I don't know. So I just feel like it's not a necessity right now for a 35-year-old guy that we already have an older player. But each their own. Each their own. And I look forward to Desi. What Desi does, I believe in.
And my final scenario, I'd certainly hope this one doesn't come true, but if Kieran Foran was to retire at the end of this year, then I would say, yeah, let's go get Ben Hunt 100%. But from what we know now, and what we hope now, rather, is that Kieran Foran does play on because we love him in our club colours. Blast from the past. We don't have one this week because we're not versing anyone. We're versing the bye. We've got a very good record against the bye.
I think we should mention something here before we just move on here, is that you haven't put in that AJ Brimson this week re-signed for 6 years until 2030. So if you haven't, if you've been living under a rock, guys, if you've been living completely under a rock, then you wouldn't know this. But AJ Brimson is probably going to be our first ever one club player throughout history, because he obviously came with us in 2018, and now he's signed until 2030. So that would be the first, like, from debut as a teenager until retirement, basically, that AJ Brimson would be here. So it'd be really, really amazing to see that, and we love him, and we can't wait for him to get back from injury.
Let me be very clear when I say this. AJ Brimson has the chance here to retire as the greatest Titan ever. He could overtake Preston Campbell if he stays with us for his whole career, especially when he gets back into that Origin side. And
when he wins a premiership, maybe he is. I understand.
Yeah, undoubtedly. You know, came through an under-20 system. The fact that he's chosen to stay here long-term, and I knew he would, just the way he was speaking on that Titans podcast they did a few years ago on KO, Building Titans, I think it was called. You know, the way he spoke there, he was so proud of the club and what we were building at the club. Just like, you know, when you hear Tino speak about the Titans and you feel warm and fuzzy inside. I got that vibe from AJ as well. So I think he could even be a long-term co-captain with Tino of the club, if I'm absolutely honest.
Mate, AJ and I, like, sometimes he'll drive me back from the stadium to, you know, Rabban Town Centre after a game. And I will tell you right now, AJ has never had any interest ever in leaving this club, and obviously has really proven this and shown this. He does also have a baby on the way now as well with his partner. So, you know, they're settled here. He's from the Gold Coast. He loves the Gold Coast. He's the Prince of Palmy. He's the Daddy Brimdog Millionaire. And I said to him on a post the other day, I said, man, we've got another 6 years of me coming up with new nicknames for you every single week. So that's what we're going to be doing for the next 6 years.
Yeah, look, he is a Tesla driver, though. Let's bring that up. Who the hell would drive a Tesla?
You.
What? All righty. Brimo, let's get together in the car park and have a cuddle with our Teslas.
Was that you just flexing just then? Were you just trying to flex that you drive a Tesla?
Well, it was a nice Tesla until Tara backed it into a pole a few days ago. Now it's got a big dent in the back. So I don't know if there's too much flexing anymore. It gets me from A to B. It's quick.
Flex the premiership muscle, mate. Don't flex the Tesla. Flex the premiership muscle.
Well, I've actually heard Elon Musk is a huge fan of this show. So, Elon, jump on the phone, brother. Let's get us both Teslas. We'll get a sponsorship rolling of the pod. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll get Brimo as like, he'll be the face of Tesla worldwide. Imagine just Brimo just like pulling up, winds down the window on a Tesla, and he's just like, I'm the Brimdog Millionaire, and I drive Tesla. And then he just flies off. Premiership muscles, like a big sticker on the back window of the Tesla. All right, I got to stop because
You're still going.
Tesla are going to have to start charging me for these ideas for ads. Let's move to Titans trivia. No blast from the past this week because we do have the buy round. I'm taking you on today. Look, last week was way too hard by you. You absolutely stuffed me, so I'm going to draw an easier one for you
this
week.
What was my one again? What was my question again last week?
Try scorers.
Yeah, no, I remember what it was. It was, what was the score of the Broncos-Titans game at Suncorp last year, and name the try scorers. It was so easy. It was 18-12. We slapped them, man.
I remembered certain elements of the game that Tino was missing. It was the
Can you remember
Jimmy
the try scorers from the game just gone? Like all of them from the game just gone? We won 36-34. Good luck.
No way. Tony Francis. I remember that one. I remembered elements of the game, though. I knew it was Jimmy's first game in charge, etc. But my question for you this week, what was the first year the Titans ever played finals football?
You think I don't know this question? You think I don't know the answer? Well, they know the answer. They've already beat me. But like, because I'm being sarcastic with you, I'm just like, we've got a shorter podcast today, guys, because there's no game this week. So I'm just like drawing it out, creating a little bit of anticipation before I say 2009, obviously, because 2007 and 2007 was, well, I think we came like 13th or 12th or something, and then we came like 10th or whatever in 2008. And then 2009, I remember, because I went to the Titans versus Broncos at Seabus, and it was like 40-32, I think the score was, to the Broncos. And then because we came top four that year. I think we came third or whatever. But then the week after, we played the Eels down at Pertec or Combank or whatever it was back then. I think it was Pertec. And we lost that game. So 2009 is my answer. And then just for a bonus, 2010, we made the finals and beat the Warriors before we got beat by the Roosters at Suncorp.
Thanks for that story, but I hadn't finished my question yet. The question was, when did we first play finals under Desi Hasler? And the answer was 2024, baby.
Thank you, mate. I gave you that long to give me the rest of the answer. So that didn't really work as well as you probably thought, to be fair. But hey, listen, no. I'll take the L. There you go.
Yeah, I'll try my best to be funny, but it doesn't work very well on this podcast.
As if I wasn't going to get 2009, by the way. As if I wasn't going to get...
Hey, all I'm asking is an easy one for me. I need a layup from you. I need an assist, a dime next week. Because the pressure you put me under last week, I absolutely folded. I folded, mate. Just like another team that I know did.
A big bumper.
That's the Brisbane Broncos, baby. Let's review last round. We defeat the Brisbane Broncos 36 points to 34 in front of 42,000 fans at Suncorp Stadium. A classic Dez Hasler performance, a really special win in our club's history. How was it from the ground? And how many chairs got kicked to death by Broncos fans that were suffering?
Na 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 na. That was beautiful, mate. It was absolutely beautiful. You know, it was a nice day. It kind of started to drizzle a little bit later on, but yeah, it was packed out, man. You could tell, like, especially because we got on the bus. The club put on. We had a function after the game with all the boys and whatnot at the Logan Home Sporting Globe at Logan Home. Which was great, but yeah, no, at the game, and there wasn't many Titans fans in the Bay, but there was a few Titans fans around and whatnot, but there was a lot of Broncos fans, obviously, and you could tell it was definitely an away game, but yeah, look, in the first couple of minutes of the game, I think the Broncos scored, and then we scored through Tone, you make it 6-6, but then they took it out to like an 18-6 game, and it was kind of like a back-and-forth game for probably a good 50 minutes of this game before we started to take it away. But I thought, and I think everyone would have thought, when they went up 18-6 or whatever it was game. You know, I don't think that any devout, genuine Titans fan of years and years and years could tell you right now that they didn't have the ultimate scare factor of we're going to have 60 put passes here. Because in the past, we would have. In the past, we would have had 60. I would even go as far to say 70. You've got to remember, we said this before in the podcast every week, we had no AJ Brimson, no Jaden Campbell, we had no Jimmy Jolliffe, no Tino Fasumalawi, we had no Tanner Boyd, Kieran Foran. You know, Tony Weaver's only just been forced back in, by the way, with a wrist injury, just to throw that one out there as well. We lost Aaron Schutt midway through the week, no Harley Smith-Shields, no Philip Sami. And then we lose Tony Francis in the first couple of minutes, and I kept yelling out, only 10 injuries to all the Broncos fans around every time we would score. Or do something good. So, yeah, look, I think that everyone who has been a long-term Titans fan that knows this club knows that we would have had 50, 60, 70 put passes. So I'm thinking that's it. You know, we're done. But then to find that mental resolve and to show that our belief and our, you know, support of Desi throughout the off-season and through last year and all this sort of stuff, or us going all in on Desi Hasler has proven that we've never had a... And this is with all due respect to previous coaches like Holbrook or Johnny Cartwright, lovely humans. But we've never had a good coach before. We've never had a really quality coach before as a head coach. Cartwright's gone on to be a great assistant coach of the Bronx, the Cowboys and whatnot. Holbrook's gone on to be a great assistant coach of the Roosters. That's great. Desi Hasler has 2 premierships for his name with Manly, you know, and 5 grand finals in general. And, you know, 2 of those with the Doggies in 2012 and 2014. Desi Hasler with Manly in 2011, 2007 and 2008. Those are the 5 grand finals he was a part of. So, yeah, I think that this game really proved to me we've never had a good coach with respect like Desi Hasler. And the way we're playing right now is something spectacular because we're actually 3 out of our last 4 that people aren't, or 3 out of our last 5 maybe, people aren't really talking about, you know, and with controversial circumstances amongst those losses as well in the Storm game, in the Raiders game, the Knights game, Manly game, all those having controversial circumstances. So, you know, we're looking pretty good, man. We're looking pretty good right now.
We are looking really good, man. I would disagree. We have had good coaches before. We haven't had a great coach, and that's what Desi is. But I guess that's maybe just a play on words, like, you know, the metric of a good coach versus a great coach. But just to be fair to our previous coaches, I would say they were good. They just weren't a great coach like Desi. They didn't have that experience, right? The forecast, the shower that you mentioned, are you sure that wasn't just Broncos tears?
I think it was Broncos tears. No, it was definitely Broncos tears, yeah.
Just wanted to confirm that there. Mm. The moment my heart sank, and it wasn't actually as early as you said when we were 18-6, because I wanted to have that firm belief that I've had the last few weeks with Desi. It was when Tommy Weaver went for the in-goal kick and Ezra Mann caught him before he ran the field. I thought at that stage, I thought it reminded me of the 2017 game against the Storm at Suncorp that we lost, where we went back and forth with them and they scored those tries as Storm did, and you thought, damn, we were so close.
That reminded me of last year at Seabus when I think it was JC tried to grubber it through right on halftime. And I think Reece Walsh like blocked it or whatnot. And then he passed it off to Heavy Farmworth. And then he just ran. That was right on halftime. That's what that reminded me of. And I thought, okay, yeah, here we go. We're done here.
My ears are bleeding. Why did you have to say that? That was a horrible memory.
Try being in attendance for that one and having all the Broncos fans around you going, da-na-na, at your own home stadium.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
You're right, though. You're right. It's a good example of that game. I think that That would have been when we folded pretty much every other time throughout every other game ever.
Mm. And I think for me, what actually makes me so genuinely proud of this game was seeing the development of this footy side under Des Hasler and just having that real tough underbelly, which we've seen for the last 6 weeks. But because as Titans fans, we're kind of mentally scarred from so many years of just middle results or unacceptable results that although Des has shown us over the last 6 or 7 weeks now that we do have a tough underbelly and we are going to stick in that fight until the 80th minute, I still couldn't quite 100% get behind it. But every game we do this, I'm starting to more and more build that faith and that belief. And make no mistake, we're a side that can still play finals this year with this attitude that we've got right now. And I will definitely be tipping us for the finals next year once we're full strength again. I've got no questions to that based on what I've seen.
We're 3 wins off the eight. We're 3 wins off the eight right now. And it's like, okay, if you want to go down the, you know, the NRL controversial route, like, and you want to be specific with the Knights and Raiders games, the Knights are, I think, eighth and the Raiders are seventh, right? And we're 3 wins off the top eight right now. So you take 2 points off the Knights, you take 2 points off the Raiders, and then you give us our 4 points. We're actually equal with the eight right now. But if you want to even just completely remove that from the example anyway, the point of matter is that we have a bye, and then we play the Rabbitohs at home, and then we play the Tigers at Leichhardt. Two very winnable games there. We could absolutely go on a three-game stretch. And then if you want to bring it in to show the form, because people looking at scores won't really understand what's going on with the team right now. They'll look at it and they go, they're still losing games. So it's like if you're watching it, you know, what, like Raiders, Manly, Warriors, was it Storm? Warriors?
Yeah.
Storm, Cowboys, Knights, and then this game here against the Broncos. All of which we lost, if we lost any of those games, was by less than 4 points, and all of those games had controversial circumstances in it, specifically the Raiders and the Knights games. Storm and Manly, whatever, you know, that's a conversation for another day, just the smaller kind of calls. But overall, we are tracking really, really well here, and I don't know if I've ever been as impressed with a string of games as we are right now, especially coming off the back of a win at Suncorp against the Broncos.
This is more, this patch of five games is more impressive than in 2021, I believe it was, where we stormed home and almost played finals in that 20-round reduced season. This is more impressive because we faced more adversity. We kind of versed some easier teams in that run home. We're versing the best of the best and we're sticking with them and if not beating them. So really, really great. What else made me so proud, mate? And actually, just quickly, hold me to this. I want to come to Leichhardt. I've always wanted to go to Leichhardt Oval. I might not be here for too much longer, so I'm going
to
be at that game.
You have to go. Sure. You've got to buy a Tigers membership, mate.
Do not bring that up. Do not bring that up. People have forgotten about that. People have forgotten about that. You go back to your Reece Walsh background there.
Do not
say that ever again.
Yeah, he's very happy. He's very happy. No, very happy.
I will be there in the front line for that game. Hold me to it. Make sure I'm there. Our keys to victory. Now, our two, we said a couple, but our two main ones were limiting Reece Walsh. And I feel like we didn't quite do that to start the game, but we adjusted very well. Now, he did tear us apart in that first half with 4 line break assists, but he was going down a side that had Bo Furman playing centre and an injured Tony Francis.
That was my key to victory last week, locking him down.
It was. Yeah, exactly. And in the second half, once we were able to switch Brian Kelly to that wing, we didn't have someone injured. We shut him down. Reece Walsh was not effective in that second half at all. We were so good there. The next key to victory we had, and keep in mind we were missing 9 of our regular top 17 in this game and a depth option in Tony Francis that we lost during the game, our forward battle. Now, we won the middle. Absolutely won the middle against a forward pack that includes Maroon squad players Payne Haas, Patrick Carrigan, and Brendan Piakura. In fact, we made one of them sub off because
Payne Haas is not Maroon, but yes, outside of that.
Sorry, Origin squad players. And they've also got an international there in Jordan Ricci. So our forward pack beat them. And we didn't have those representative superstars like they've got there. You know what I mean? We beat them in the middle there. We had more run meters than them and more post-contact meters.
Which is crazy considering we had no Jimmy Jolliffe and we had no Tina.
Exactly, mate. Like, this was a game that we had no right on paper to win. Absolutely no right. I have a friend who bet on us at halftime. We blew out to $13 odds. And he was very happy at full time. So even the bookies wrote us off. We were no chance at halftime. You know, it is just crazy. I love this team so much. Every time a player touched the ball from like an experienced player in Brian Kelly, who I've watched for years, I was right there riding him. And then every time a rookie like Josiah Pahulu touched the ball, I felt like I was right there with him as well. Go, Josie. I was riding every single meter that our team made. I was counting every single tackle, counting them down. Come on, boys, just get through the kick here. And I was starting to believe more and more as the game went on. And there were dips throughout when the Broncos would come back, most notably the Ezra Mann runaway try. But I just love this team so much. And I'm so convinced that this team is going to become the greatest ever Titans team that we've ever had on the coast under Dez Hasler, based on the last 6 weeks. And this game here was just the cherry on top that solidified my opinion completely. This will be the best Titans team we've ever had on the coast. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, we're still building towards it, but it will be. I definitely agree with that one. But I also got to make a massive shout out here and say that this game, we don't win unless Tommy Weaver makes that tackle. That Scotty Sattler-esque tackle, which I said to Tommy many times after the game, that tackle was absolutely immense. So basically, they go out to the left. Now, this should have actually been an obstruction, and I spoke to Cleese about this because he was crying about it, throwing his hands up, and we should have received an obstruction here because one of their players runs directly into Cleese. Cleese is trying to move across. So this is on that play that Reece gives it out to, I think it's Josiah Kotapani, maybe? Yep. Anyway, and then Josiah Kotapani cuts back in from Tony Francis, who can't really make the tackle because of his shoulder. So he bumps off the tackle, and then the gap in between, that's where Josiah Kotapani comes through. Cleese has been taken out. So again, a bad call that could have cost us the game there. But they break through. Tommy Weaver actually misses a tackle there too, but tracks back. And instead of going for Kotapani, who we had, I think, Keanu Kinney coming across to protect, he then goes out to Corey Oates. And Corey Oates isn't granted the fastest wing on the planet by any means. But to just have that kind of that ability to knock you up on the play, which we've had many times before in the past with Titans players and Titans teams, that when it looks like it's done, it is done. Well, this wasn't done. And him saving that try there saves the game, because we don't score again from that point. We won't score again. We're done. If they had to take the lead there. And then for them to pass it, Ezra Mann to knock the ball on was brilliant. So massive shout out to Tommy Weaver there. You know, a young kid, young bloke coming in under all adversity in an injury-depleted team, absolutely slapped injuries-depleted team at Suncorp Stadium, the Cauldron, 42,000 people. We've actually never lost at Suncorp Stadium on a Sunday against the Bronx. Fun fact for everybody. So that is a huge thing to come in for, and he made a huge play.
4 from 4 over the Bronx on Sunday. Can't do much better than that. And you're right, because it wasn't just a high-effort play where he showed that determination under adversity to not give up, and he made the tough decision there. He also made the high IQ play under fatigue to go for Corey Oates there as opposed to just tracking into the center there. So brilliant by Tommy Weaver. A moment that we'll remember for a long time as Titans fans, and hopefully he remembers as a long time as well.
I will say just quickly as well, Corey Oates could have actually part. So we actually... Do you say surely that ball comes back? So it actually probably nearly would have been on this is on a complete opposite scale. So you could actually see Jock Madden coming on the inside. If Corey Oates had passed that ball to Jock Madden probably would have scored there. Because I can't remember who was chasing it up, but he would have scored there. So that would have been the biggest heart attack. But again, there's no way they couldn't have called that obstruction on Cleese Hart. So we actually would have had a penalty at the halfway point rather than down there. But man, like that would have felt like Dolphins 2023 all over again had they scored there. But it probably would have been for the better, funnily enough. It probably would have been for the better.
It was so risky. It's so risky to, you know, guarantee that the bunker does go back and spot that. But I think they would have. It's just in the moment. Tommy doesn't know that. He's just going 100 miles an hour, giving it his 100%. And yeah, we love him for that. That was a brilliant, brilliant tackle. Now let's go to the hard punt. Let's pick our top three. Did you want to go first, or do you want me to go first with my 3 points?
I'll go first here because it's the same player that you're probably going to be going with. It's Keanu Kinney with the 3 points. I thought that Keanu was unbelievable. Obviously, we are lacking in the fullback department with no Jaden Campbell and AJ Brimson recently. But this is just showing the depth that we do have in this position. And Keanu is making a name for himself as well. You know, may have, you know, come in under really harsh circumstances last year. And, you know, at the beginning of this year, we were having bad games as a whole team against the Dragons, the Bulldogs, the Dolphins, whatnot. When Keanu had to play, you know, the whole team was really disappointing. And he got a lot of the hate and the blame and whatnot, which was undeserved. It was the whole team as a whole. But, you know, in this game, he was absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, had the 8 points. He was kicking for us. So, he got 8 points in that one from 7 conversion attempts. Obviously, not the greatest of kickers, but again, depth kicker for us, guys. You know, he had 262 running meters, which is fantastic, from 27 runs. 2 try assists in this game. 2 line break assists with 74 post-contact meters. 5 tackle breaks with 4 offloads. 62 kick turn meters, and then made the tackles that he needed to make. So, yeah, I thought this was absolutely phenomenal there from Keanu Kinney, and he definitely gets my 3 points.
100% agree. Forget Lil Puppy. He is nothing. We've got Lil K, Lil Keanu Kinney there out the back. Played as a fullback and a half, realistically. Like, he was at the fullback defensively and in attack, but he also played like a second half role for us as well there, because we know Chris Randall's not a traditional 5'8". Kinney was kind of getting that ball too wide and creating for us out wide. Huge energy, great match fitness, stayed in the contest, competed on everything, got smashed by the Broncos forwards a few times. Like, you could say that they were trying to bully him. And he just said stuff that, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep coming at you all day. And when they did fatigue, that's when Kinney came into his own. I know we all agree Brimson has won the rights to our fullback jersey, and I'm not going to dispute that based off one amazing game by Keanu. But the depth we have between Brimo, JC, and Kinney is the best in the league at fullback, hands down. I know the Storm have like a Nick Meaney option, Ryan Pappenhausen, and Sua Faalongo. But I reckon we got the best depth there at fullback.
Well, it's like the Broncos, right? The Broncos have Reece Walsh, and then they have Tristan Saylor and whatnot. And I guess you have Selwyn Cobbo. But overall, I think that when you're talking about just, pure depth, I'm saying AJ Brimson, Jaden Campbell, and Keanu Kinney, the best three for depth in the game as well. But I'd say it's probably followed by the Broncos in second.
Yeah, great call, man. Storm would be top three as well, probably, you'd have to say. 2 points. Who gets your two?
2 points is a lot more difficult, because there is a cracker amount of players who have really turned it up in this game. But I am going to go to Dave. I am going to be going to Dave Fifita. He had 230 run meters here from 20 runs, with 2 try assists and 2 line break assists as well. You could just clearly tell that Dave has really turned up for this team. He's a lot more happy for this team. If you look at the videos and social media post-match, you can see Dave is a lot more relaxed now, a lot more relaxed than he was when he obviously was having those contract talks and whatnot. Had a few missed tackles, which is a little bit frustrating, but at the end of the day, Dave did a phenomenal job overall. And I think that he's really turned a corner and just loves his club and completely, and I don't think he'll leave.
I've got to agree with you. 2 points goes to Dave. He set up 2 tries, played in the centres for us at one stage, back row, prop, and just gave everything. You know, he was coming off the back fence for those hit-ups to start, getting into battles with Jordan Rickey, Patrick Carrigan, and coming out on top. Completely outplayed the Broncos forward pack, including Brendan Piakura, who was subbed off because of that. He could not contain Dave. I know that Dave's missed selection for the Maroons, but Dave owned Brendan Piakura. I'll say it right here. Dave is an effing legend, and I love him, and he gets my 2 points. Who gets your 1 point?
Yeah, I just want to quickly go and show people something for a second here. But you go with your 1 point. It's different to mine. So you go with your 1 point. I just want to show something.
Awesome. And through this software we're using, you can share your screen as well. And I can bring that up if that's easier for you. My 1 point goes to Bo Fermor. Now, we did have a few shaky moments defensively early in that first half, but he more than made up for it there. He scored a key try for us. He set up a try there for Tony Francis as well. And more great versatility shown to his game realistically. I believe in the next few years, if not as early as next year, Bo Fermor will be to the Queensland Maroons what Kurt Capewell was a few seasons ago. I'm talking that 2020-2021 period where Capewell was simply had to be selected at back row because he was versatile and could fill in at centre also. That's what Bo Fermor will be. Whereas Dave will be the Maroons back rower that can play back row or a middle role for you. So I think both of our back rows will be there in Origin over the next few years. Love what I saw from Bo this round. Great, great effort. Great, great game. 200-plus metres. Couldn't have done better. He gets my 1 point. Did you find what you were looking to bring up?
No, I didn't find what I was looking to bring up. But I will also say, in regards to Bo Fermor and Kurt Capewell comparison, is that I think Bo Fermor has more X factor by a decent stretch as well than Kurt Capewell. But I can see that comparison there for sure in regards to the two. In my 1 point, I'm actually going to be giving it to Aaron Clark. I think that Aaron Clark was fantastic in this game. He had no right to score that try. You know, he had like, 5 or 6 Broncos players on top of him from 10 metres out and just scored. And we were on that side, which was brilliant. But yeah, just found a way over that line, which was just unbelievable. He's had a really, really good year for mine. He had 124 run metres from 11 runs. He also had a line break in this game. Post-contact meters of 41. He had 4 tackle breaks as well, and just did everything that he needed to do. He had 14 tackles just for the one missed, which is really, really solid there. I think Aaron Clark definitely deserves a point. And, big shout to guys like Bo Fermor for starters, to guys like Khalees Haas, who is doing a great job again, 129 run meters, 13 runs, and 17 tackles, 1 missed. and just and also big plays to like Tommy Weaver, even though he missed a few tackles, which is definitely does need to be reined in. You know, Tommy Weaver, let's put this for example, made 9 tackles with 5 missed, but Ezra Mann made 18 tackles with 8 missed. So it's like you're looking at halves a lot, and they are going to miss a few tackles because you've got the big boppers running at them. So it's like people don't really look at Ezra Mann's defense, but they're happy to go and have a look at his. So, I'm very happy with how this team played. I'm really liking what Sammy Verrills is doing as well. 36 tackles for just the one missed and doing everything he needs to do there in the middle. But my one point definitely goes to Aaron Clark.
And I think what I love from Aaron's try as well, not only was it full effort, full heart to get there, and not many plays in the comp score that try, Aaron just brings a different sort of energy from the bench. He's a real competitor, and he just wants to go from the moment he's on against anyone, even like the likes of Jared Rea-Hargraves, which we've seen in the past. What I loved about it is your point, that when you do score these points on the brink of halftime and then just after, more times than not, you do get that momentum and go on to win the game. And that kind of played perfectly into your theory there with what we saw from Aaron Clark. So overall,
if you can see before halftime within that 5-minute stanza, you are more than likely to lose, I'd say 90% of the time. If it's a close game, if it's like a 30-4 and they've just scored, then no. But if it's a relatively close game, if you can see within that 5-minute, even go 3-minute stanza, before, no, I'd say 5, from the 35th minute to the 40th minute, you can see then your game is more than likely over. You will probably see the winner, and that's exactly what we saw here.
Yeah, no, your theory definitely came to light there. That was a really, really great try by Aaron. So many players that deserve points, man. We can only give 3 points out.
Get around Keenan for scoring against his old club too. Get around Keenan for scoring.
That was Keenan's best game in a Broncos, in a Titans jersey rather, and it was against the Broncos. So great work there. Let's move on to our affiliates recap, where we go through how our Titans top 30 players went in reserve grade. Before we do so, let's give a quick congratulations to the Malmeninga Cup. The Tweed Seagulls team in the Malmeninga Cup. They won their grand final over the Burley Bears last Saturday, 36-12. Zane Harrison is a young halfback, and he's the captain of this side. He was also the MVP. His brother also played Isaac. He plays at lock forward. And between them, they've won 11 premierships in the junior competitions here on the Gold Coast. From what I can see online, Zane is only on contract with us for the rest of this year. So he is definitely someone we've got to lock down long-term, no matter what we've got to do. He seems like he's the next big gun coming through for us.
Zane is definitely... So I don't watch the Malmeninga Cup, as you wouldn't either. I don't think many people would unless you've got family involved in it. But I have been seeing for probably a couple of years now the name of Zane Harrison really popping up and really, you know, being shown through those Facebook groups and on Instagram and whatnot. And we actually followed each other the other day on Instagram. So it's good to see that he's obviously amongst it and sees kind of what we're all creating here and the club in general. And I'm really kind of excited to see his potential because obviously to win that Malmeninga Cup, to have the recommendations and the regards from, you know, lots of people online that are amongst it. And to be as overwhelming as they are, it really does show for a young lad that things are starting to move along. And that is a position of need, like a specific position of need coming forward. So, yeah, really exciting because he was being spoken about before we had that specific position of need. So it shows that, yeah, super young, coming forward, give him time, give him patience, and, you know, he'll be the next big thing.
And he's also someone from PBC, which I believe we kept when we lost Kira Park to the Bunnies. Right. So that means we've made a great decision there with Zane coming through. I just followed him on Instagram as well. Titans fans, get around him, follow him on Instagram, show him that love. He could be our next big star coming through. Let's move to the Queensland Cup, where we only had one Titans player from our top 30 on display due to the current injuries. The Tweed Seagulls defeat the Sunshine Coast Falcons 22-16. We had no Titans top 30 players in that one. And the Jets lose 16-50 at home against the North Devils. We had one Titans play in that one. Blaze, how did Kenny Mamalo go?
The big Kenny Mamalo, he's got a try. Had 97 metres, 2 tackle breaks, no missed tackles, no errors. So, yeah, very safe performance there by big Ken. Unfortunate there that the Jets do lose their 50-16 to the Devils. But with that being said, during the week, I don't know if we spoke, but I think this was actually on the weekend. I think it was Ben Cross, who was their coach, was actually fired. So they've actually moved on from their coach. Yeah, obviously they were losing a lot of games. They've lost a lot of games last year, this year, and this doesn't help. But with that being said, they are now moving into a different direction with a new coach. So give them time to see how they go. And also, the Roosters don't do anything with this team. The Roosters don't help the Jets whatsoever. We're helping them way more, and we're the development. They are the actual feeder club at the Roosters. So, yeah, not happy with them. But overall, want to see the Jets start to improve, definitely. Definitely want to see them start to improve. But good win there for Tweed. Without it, their starts.
Exactly right. I think for like the Jets as well, like maybe a coaching combination of the Walker brothers again would work in this game now, where short kickoffs, and short goal line dropouts, that real money ball style that they really
they're moving away from it though. Everyone's moving away. Have you noticed the people, all the teams are starting to move away from those short dropouts?
Yeah, already. Yeah, I have noticed that. But I wonder if they could get another crack. And you are right, because the Roosters have their own New South Wales Cup team, so they assign all of their top 30 players to that side. And I believe Sam Walker's little brother is coming through Ipswich at the moment as well. So hopefully we can try to pinch him off the Roosters. That'd be very, very cheeky of us.
Both brothers.
Now we're talking. So with that win, Tweed moved to ninth on the ladder, just outside the top eight there. Jets remain in 15th. Next games, Tweed versus Clydesdales at Piggabeen. You can catch that Saturday, 3 p.m. And the Jets are against the Capras there in Rockhampton on Saturday at 4 p.m. My read from that, Blaze, is probably that the Tweed Seagulls will be back in the top eight after this round. I think Clydesdale's a pretty easy side for us, realistically. The only Titans we have named at this stage is Ken Mamalo for the Jets and Isaac Fa'asuamala'awi there for Tweed.
Yeah, what I'll say here in regards to the latter is that this actually will help the Ipswich Jets quite a bit with Tweed obviously taking the Western Clydesdales, because Ipswich Jets are in 15th, which is last. However, they've played two more games than the Clydesdales. I say this every week. I think it's ridiculous. But the Clydesdales have had two buys compared to the Jets, and they are 4 points above them. So the points differential to the Jets is minus 180. The points differential to the Clydesdales is minus 160. But you add on two extra games in front of that. I'm telling you, the Clydesdales are last right now. The Jets are actually in 14th. I know it's a little bit sad that we even have to discuss this, but the point of the matter is that the Tweed Seagulls, by winning this week, will give a massive advantage there for the Ipswich Jets to avoid that spoon. I agree. I think that 100% Ipswich do move into top eight. The Hunters play the South Slogan Magpies. So Magpies are down the bottom, actually. But the Falcons play the Dolphins, which is a really good teeter-totter there. And if the Dolphins win, then bing-bong, Seagulls go straight in. So, and also the Brisbane Tigers take on the Townsville Blackhawks. But to be fair, the Queensland Cup's been all over. The Host Pass Cup's been all over the shop. So, yeah, definitely see. But I can't see Seagulls dropping is all I'll say.
Yeah, a lot of mixed results and upsets in the Queensland Cup so far this year, but hopefully Tweed can come through with the top four prediction that we both made at the start of the year. They're starting to build that consistency into their game now, so I hope that they can do that. Usually at this stage of the podcast, you can see if you're on YouTube, we would preview the next round, but of course we don't have a round. So the only thing to discuss here is, as Titans fans, we want the Eels to lose to the Sharks on Thursday night. Otherwise, we would swap positions on the ladder with them and move down to 15th. So at the moment, we remain in 14th. We will stay there if the Eels lose. Yeah, every other team is on a bye with us, so they won't go higher on the four and against. So we just want the Eels to lose to the Sharkies Thursday night as Titans fans this round.
Yeah, so I will just kind of clarify there as well, because we do have that Rabbitohs game in a week's time, and then we do have the Tigers the week after. So just to give a little bit of context behind the next couple of weeks of games. So we play both last and then second last in consecutive weeks. However, if the Eels are to lose this week to the Sharks, who have no Hines and whatnot, and Moses and Gutherson are back for the Eels, but if they were to lose by about 50 odd, they would actually go to last position. Now, the only way the Eels could go above us is if they won by 31 plus against the Sharkies. So I highly, highly doubt that. But the point of matter is that I'm going to make here is that the Titans are on 8 points. The Raiders, the Knights, the Broncos, and the Roosters are all there on 14 points, so 3 wins above us. The only issue is that when we're winning games, it's by close margins, right? At least we're losing games by close margins too, so we're minus 89. Now, the Dragons are on 12 points. They play the Panthers this week with a lot of players out, the Panthers. They're on minus 88, so we'll probably go above them in points differential. But if you look up towards that top eight area, Raiders, like I said, on 14, minus 38. Knights, 14, minus 9. Broncos, 14, plus 57. And the Roosters, 14, plus 135. And also the Broncos and Roosters haven't had a bye yet. Broncos this week. So it's really, really difficult to obviously put ourselves into that 8 category. But if we can beat the Rabbitohs and Tigers by big margins over the next 3 weeks, that's what will tell us. If we can beat them by big margins, which we should, one being the Rabbitohs at home and the Tigers being at Leichhardt, where we always seem to win, if we can win by good margins, mate, we're definitely back in the shout. But right now, we can't be winning these games by close margins, in my opinion. We can't. We have to win by big margins.
And what this period looms for me is almost redemption to how we started our season. With how we started our season, the Dragons and Bulldogs were at that stage perceivably very low and easy competition for us. We blew both games badly. Now when we have what we know to be easier sides in 2024, we must nail this period under Dez. We can't be that team that turns up and competes hard against the best sides and then loses to the bottom dwellers. We've got to put them to the sword if we can and really build up our for and against.
And don't be scared by the Rabbitohs beating the Eels either. The Eels are nothing spectacular. Like, they're probably going to be last like after this week or even, you know, yeah, like they should be. Well, they're probably going to lose to the Sharks, so they'll definitely go below the Tigers. So, like, don't be scared by the Rabbitohs just beating the Eels. I'm telling you, the Rabbitohs are looking awful this year.
Do not be scared of the Rabbitohs. I've got inside mail. Their kicker is going to be heavily compromised due to a few drumming distractions whenever
he'll pull out like he always does, mate. I'll message him too. We're talking about Trell, if you guys don't know. I had a bet with him last year. I'll message him, but he'll pull out. He'll pull out like he did last year. Scared.
Catch you later, Trell. All righty, let's move to the phone, the frontline section. Guys, we have our first one today here by Scott Twomey, I believe it is. Let's listen to that one now, Blaze.
Hey, Clarky. How you feeling, the Gold Coast Suns? Won last Sunday over the Brisbane Broncos. And what is your heart rate? From 1 to 10.
But I didn't get the second part of that one.
I can't answer this, mate. I didn't get a shout out. I didn't get a high bay car or Blaze. Basically, what he asked you and only you was, how was your heart rate from 1 to 10? I think he was saying.
Oh, my heart rate. Yeah. That makes sense now. Look, it was through the roof at stages of that game, man. I think every Titans fan's heart rate was up. It was a thrilling contest. And, you know, it wasn't that like we were versing just a random team. We're versing our big brother or what's perceivably our big brother, even though they haven't won a premiership since we entered the competition. Let's not mention that because they get very salty when they do. But thank you very much for sending that one in.
I will mention that every single day, Broncos fans, every single day.
Thank you for sending that one in, Scotty. Yeah, mate, I loved the game and the heart rate was definitely pumping throughout that one. It was an entertaining game of footy, I'm sure, for every footy fan besides Broncos fans and Titans fans. We were in it. That was a big one. All right, our next one, Blaze, is from Corey Gregory. Before I press play on this one, Corey is an OG Titans fan, man. I've seen him in the Facebook groups for years now.
He lives up in Townsville. Yeah. He lives up in Townsville. He's been a part of the front line for a while now. And we'll get down to as many games as he possibly can down in the front line. So, no, good bloke, Corey. Cool's up.
Absolute legend, Corey. Let's press play.
Boys, how you going? Just a quick question. Going into the halfback situation now after old Tommy Weaver's performance last week, do you think Tommy Weaver or Tanner Boyd will win the halfback role? Who do you guys think will get it? You know, so Tommy obviously needs that game experience and he's improving each time, and Tanner obviously just doesn't miss, you know. But what do you guys reckon about the halfback? Who do you think will get it next year moving forward?
Great question, Corey. I did notice then you specifically said next year. So for me, that will be Tanner Boyd. But I think because Tanner will be out for a while with that injury, we should bring him back in reserve grade for a game or two, build up his match fitness and keep Tommy in the NRL, and then assess how Tanner's going there in reserve grade. If his match fitness is good enough, I think Tanner's good enough to be our halfback there alongside Kieran Foran. To answer your question absolute specifically, in 2025, at this stage, my halfback is Tanner Boyd. How do you view that one, Blaze?
Yeah, so there's actually a few interesting options here that you can think over and ponder over. And I want your answer by then, even though you've kind of given your answer there. So you've got the option of, this year, you've got Tommy there. You've got Kieran, who's usually the seven, and Tanner. Now, when Tanner was playing the six before injury and Kieran was playing the seven, you could see Tanner was really improving. He was really starting to, without that, you know, direction role, which is what a halfback does, without the leadership role there, and Kieran was taking over the leadership, that you could see that Tanner was really flourishing and really improving. It was great. And he had a great game against the, who was the game? It was Warriors, was it? I think it was Warriors. Now, you've got Tommy Weaver, who is a seven. I think we've moved away from Tanner being the seven to the six. And then you've got Kieran, who is the 6/7. But with that being said, Kieran Foran has been shown when he is playing that he is the seven. Now, Tommy Weaver played well as the seven with Chris Randle as the six. And this is really, like deep diving. So rugby league fanatics, this is really deep diving into the nitty gritty right now. So I hope you're sticking with me here. But Chrissy Mann obviously wouldn't be the six. So you would have to more than likely assume that if Tommy gets it, then Tommy would be the seven and Kieran would be the six. But you'd have to assume if Tanner gets it, then Tanner gets the six and Kieran gets the seven. So realistically, it actually comes down to, because both those guys do deserve it in my personal opinion, but I'll give you another example in a second. Both those guys deserve it, but it comes down to if you want Kieran playing the six and Kieran playing the seven, which one you think is better, whether he's better as a leadership and direct, director of the game, or to float behind Tommy and to be the creator kind of deal. Or do you see Tommy moving potentially to a six with Kieran staying at seven? I don't know. So there is those kind of options there that you choose from. But also, who kicks otherwise if Tanner's not playing? Who's kicking? Because Keanu's not a kicker. Keanu kicked for us on the weekend, but he's not a kicker, right? So you can't expect Keanu to be – he had, what, seven kicks, and I think he missed three or four of them. I can't remember. He missed a few, right? And that's no fault of his own. He's not a kicker. We've lost Shuppy, who was another kicker. I guess Tommy can kick, but also – when Tommy's playing in the game, they gave it to Keanu. And when Tommy's playing in the game, they also gave it to Shub. And then also they gave it to Brian Kelly last week. So that means that they're not really believing in Tommy Weaver as the kicker. So who, if it's not Tanner, is kicking on a consistent level? And that is important when it comes to the long-term point of the season. So I personally think that if we're talking this year, you still have to go Kieran in the seven and Tanner in the six for that purpose. But you did see his kicking game really start to evolve and come back to what we know, where Tanner doesn't miss. But from next year onwards is really interesting, because does Kieran's body hold up? Does he continue on into next year? I think so. But does he? I don't know. If not, you're probably going with Tommy in the seven and then Tanner in the six. But then obviously, you know, maybe they do go and make a bit of a splash for a guy like a Sammy Walker or a guy like a Benny Hunt. And then, or potentially, you know, you're waiting 3-4 years down the track and you're seeing Zane Harrison coming through, as we've spoken about here on the podcast. So a lot of interesting kind of things to think about. Out of everything that you follow, did you follow on with everything I just said, Clarky? And what was your thoughts?
Yeah, there's implications no matter which way we go. But I think my biggest takeaway is, regardless of which situation we go with of yours there, whichever way we go, that player needs to be ready to be the main half when Kieran does retire. I get the feeling playing Tanner at six is actually better for that, because he's had more experience and he can transition back into a seven role. And then we might have to do a thing where we play AJ at six and Kinney or Jaden at fullback, or maybe Jaden's the six. So I think Tanner Boyd is more likely to be our long-term seven, but I haven't, I think that could be because I've seen more of his career than Tommy Weaver, right? Mm. And Tommy Weaver is still a fair few years younger. But yeah, there's lots of ways the club can go with this.
It's a great question from Corder. It is a really good question, because obviously this is just our opinions. You've got your opinions. The club will have their opinions. Players, everyone will have a different opinions, right? So it's a really intriguing question that goes really, really deep, because then as well, with all that in regards to the halves there, you do have to consider that the AJ, JC and Keanu battle does potentially impact the halves. Because if they go with JC as the fullback, then that means that you would have to put AJ Brimson into the six, because that centre experiment is done. A centre experiment is well and truly Gonski. So if the Jaden Campbell and specifically let's go JC and AJ, because I can see Keanu being a 14. I'm happy with Keanu being 14. I think that he can come into that fullback role. I think he can be in the back line anywhere as well. And he can be that utility player. Whilst you've got Chrissy Randle on the bench there, if Sammy Verrills gets the full 80 as the hooker. The point of the matter is that AJJC and Keanu battle will impact that 6-7 battle as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of in-depth intricacies right now to be thinking about. And it's good. Oh, it's good to have.
It is good to have these issues. You'd rather have the issues of we're not sure. Yeah. You'd rather have the issues of I'm not sure who's our number seven than we don't have a number seven. So we are all right in that perspective. And certainly the questions we face in our halves next season are the same questions we face with our fullback this season. So it's just about testing and adjusting what's best for our roster and what's best long-term as well as now. And I think Desi will get it right. All righty, our next one here comes from Joshua. Let's play it now.
Hey, guys. I love your Titans, and thank you so much for the game, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Josh. We love the Titans too. We appreciate the voicemail. Go the Titans.
Thanks for listening, Josh.
J-Lad. Jesse, let's get it on.
G'day, fellas. Hope you're doing all right today. Just want to get your thoughts on the potential of Ben Hunt coming into the 2026 season. He can't negotiate with rival clubs for until November 1. He's looking at extensions with the Dragons at the moment. How do you think? Is it a short-term solution or long-term solution?
Well, that's pretty much the only thing we didn't talk about at the start of the show. It'd be a short-term solution for me. I wouldn't be comfortable anything over 2 years. From what we know, the NRL kind of cut off. The oldest player to ever play NRL, I think, was Paul Gallen at 38. People did play later when it was less professional. But, yeah, it'd have to be a 1 or 2 year deal for Benny Hunt for me. Let's go one more here today. I think it's I think we're going to have a Broncos fan here. Mm. Adzi, a heartbroken D.
Come to me. Come to Papa, Adzi D.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk.
Check out the banner on YouTube.
Yeah, sing us your winning song now, Adam.
Yeah. Oh, this is beautiful. Oh, I don't think he's going to say anything. He's just going to play the song.
Keep playing,
so,
I reckon he probably does. I know Adam. I reckon he probably does. Keep playing. And I'm going to bask in this. Yeah, there you go. There's that was song. Planted in my brain. I'm basking in the ambience. Mm. Beautiful.
Good game, boys. Good game.
Was a very good game, Adzi. Very good.
I really enjoyed that. That little like 40 seconds to a minute just then was just pure ambience and beauty. I really appreciate it.
I hope he was crying whilst he was playing that song too.
Oh, it was outstanding. Yeah, no, that was why I just sat there and basked in the ambience, because we've had a couple of voice messages here from Big Adzi D, Adzi Big Day D, when he's been singing the Winner Manly Seagulls song when they've beaten our feeder clubs. So obviously we've gotten to head up to the old Suncorp, Big Brother as they say, and get a nice little victory. So that was very nice, Adzi Big Day D. But obviously all love, mate. We appreciate you for listening to the podcast, and I'm looking forward to beating you again at Seagulls Super Stadium. Yeah, looking forward to it.
We appreciate you, Adzi, because we know you're a closet Titans fan. That's why we appreciate you. We know that you love the Titans, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There is an issue with being a Broncos fan, however. So appreciate the voice message, mate. And as soon as you're ready to announce your true colours, we will do the announcement on this podcast. We'll roll out the red carpet for you, mate, and you can join the greatest rugby league club on earth, and that is the mighty Gold Coast Titans. That will be the end of our show today, guys. We have a huge week next week where we're going to preview our NRLW women's players in Origin. We'll preview Big Mo in Origin, what we're expecting from the big fella there, plus all of our regular segments and a preview, of course, against the Rabbitohs, as well as no recap because we're not playing this weekend. But that's all from me, guys. Have a great week and a great weekend ahead. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next week. Over to you, Blaze, to farewell this show.
You had to really figure out which side I was on, didn't you?
Oh, just getting ready for a bit of a...
So I'm with my streams, right? Because the chat is actually for me on this side, but I know that when I'm pointing, it's that side. So I'm used to now pointing that way for that way, but I knew you wouldn't be. Looking forward to, obviously, Origin next Wednesday. I think we'll have to probably... we'll definitely be recording on Tuesday, I guess, because we'll have to bring it out before Wednesday, because we'll both be absolutely flat out with Origin. But it should be a big one. Obviously, we want the Sharkies to beat the Eels this week. And then everybody else around us has a bye, really. So the only other teams we'd want to lose is, I guess, the Raiders and Knights. They play this week, so we can hope that they lose. And then we're, 4 points away from the top eight, So a couple of things that we obviously want to be watching this week, but looking forward to it. Appreciate you guys. Have a good bye weekend. Kick your feet up. No stress. Everyone just relax, and we'll get our 42 points. Oh, baby, let's get it. Zing, baby.